Welcome to Podcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Podcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to our latest podcast. My name is Les Jones. I'm the creative director at Practice Plan, and I'm very pleased to say that joining me on today's podcast is Kevin Rose from Rose & Co. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Les. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Very well. Good to see you. And we're here today. We're going to kind of delve into your world a little bit, find out what Rose & Co. does, how you help dentists to succeed. Now, I was kind of thinking back, Kevin, and I kind of think you must have been in dentistry at least 10 years because you were in our very famous Peter Kay Amarillo video that we did at the dentistry show like 10 years ago. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I was scratching my head as well. You're right. It was 2014.
Really? Yeah.
We were just stepping up from being really myself to being the and co, if you like, and we were rebranding. And you're right, it is 15 years as we speak since I suppose did what a lot of people do that aren't dentists in dentistry. You kind of stumble into it, which is what happened to me. So yeah, the background to that was very, very, very good friend of mine, Simon Thackeray, who's one of your clients.
Yeah, Simon.
He's a pain, but he's also great at the same time in equal amounts, as you probably know. He invited me to look at his dental practice when I left my previous profession in finance and banking, and I was at a sort of director level doing that. And he invited me to look at his practice. And I wasn't really sure why, but I was curious and a bit bored. And that was 15 years ago. Some things have moved on since then. But what I noticed was fundamentally, and Simon won't mind me saying, he's always looking back. He was always going to be a good example of all the kind of a cauldron, if you like, of all the stuff that can happen in a dental practice. There it was in one very condensed version. And I suppose what I did was look from the outside in at dentistry, at this dental practice, and apply things that I've seen work outside of dentistry, as well as things that remove things that we know don't work fundamentally in terms of leadership, structure, planning, the operation of a business. And that was kind of it. That was the brief. And I sort of tinkered with that for about 6-9 months. And then out of the blue, unbeknown to me, Simon's management team had put the practice forward for investors in people, which didn't even touch the sides. It got rubber stamped straight away. And then they got investors in people gold. And in case anyone listening is not that familiar with investors in people, it's as good as a external accreditation that you are doing the right things with the people that you pay to come and work for you. So, excuse me, I just thought, well, we're onto something here. And I was also motivated at the same time by the fact that I was a bit discouraged generally with dentistry in that, and the situation hasn't changed that dramatically over the last 15 years, there seemed to me to be a big disconnect between the profession and the public. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is the growth of the amount of the percentage of the population that go to the dentist hasn't really gone up. It's not gone up in the way that you would kind of hope it to, given how much dentistry has moved on. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the figures from the British Dental House Foundation, and they're reasonably up to date. And it's kind of like growth of less than half a percent per year. Well, that's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Right? Given all the work you're doing and people are doing in dentistry and digital this and internet and all the rest of it. Excuse me. So it just struck me there's this disconnect of trust between the public and the people who are here to serve those members of the public. And I've really made that my focus, is to how we can encourage more people to regularly attend the dentist. That's it. That's my motivation for the business. And I don't think I don't think it's that complicated if we look at things in the right order. And I think historically what we've got better at as a profession is communicating what we can do for people.
Yeah.
You know, online gives us a better tool for that. What we're less good at is communicating the stuff that people need to process first to get through the door, to build that relationship, to build that trust. And I think what we finish up doing, if we're not careful, is focusing on what's in it for us as opposed to what's in it for the patient.
Yeah.
And you need both. But I think we need to start with the human side of dentistry, patients and team members, because they produce the results. They produce the money, ultimately, the digital results. And I really think what outside of dentistry have learned, and it's something I've established having left the financial profession, largely because I felt disconnected with my values and what the profession had become about, to say profession, probably unprofessional in many ways, was that focusing purely on, if you like, the digital results produces certain behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether those behaviors are then healthy for healthcare. So instead, what we should be doing is, rather than saying at any cost, we will achieve our numbers, it should be the other way around. We will achieve our numbers because of how we deliver our service, look after our people, care for our patients. So it's a very in-depth way of basically saying, do the right thing and the results follow. We all get that. It's what the regulator requires in healthcare. But what does it mean in practice? And how do you measure it? How do you apply that in practice? And that is a very, very long, windy answer to how this business came about and what we do.
And a very thorough one.
Thank you.
And so obviously when you first kind of came into the dental space via Simon, it was kind of just you working on your own. But now you've grown the business. You now have a team of people, don't you, within Rose & Co?
Yeah. So for historical reasons, one of my early client projects, very successful, she went on to sell the practice and all the rest of it, was up in Scotland. In turn, the owner of that practice, Jan, is married to Andy, who is, I will openly say, because he will admit it, he's a nerd, but he's also very creative. And there it was, right under my nose all along. What I was looking for was someone to partner with who is a nerd and creative, and I was struggling to get both. You either got a nerd who created websites that worked but no one wanted to go on them, or you got a pretty website or a pretty brand that was clunky when you tried to interact with it. So with Andy, we got both. So 10 years ago, we set up on this journey to provide the digital services, and that's the co, if you like. So that's now grown into there's five of them up in Dundee, deliberately Dundee, as opposed to not just anywhere in Scotland, because there's a lot of creative people in that area. It's quite a creative hub. And I think I've taken a leaf out of my own book in there, in which is that, yes, we produce a quantity of stuff for our clients, but my focus is on actually developing people.
Yeah.
So we focus on developing careers in digital marketing, as opposed to, let's see how many websites we can make this year.
Right.
So again, it's the same principle. If you focus on developing people, and just guess what? Ever since we've started doing that, we've attracted more talent. We've attracted even better people. Some of those have moved on. And we've produced some great stuff as well. And I think it's better to be a launch pad than a nursing home, right? And
That's a very interesting analogy. And of course, what you've been doing within the business then is over time, you've kind of developed and honed either what might be called a system or a methodology.
Yeah.
I would say
a philosophy. And the problem with having a philosophy is that my audience are very academic. Mm-hmm. They're dentists. Okay. So the thing I learned, first of all, is you can't just market yourself in this profession just on the ideas. You have to make it real. Mm-hmm. So the philosophy I have is quite straightforward, which is that, well, we were touching on it for all of this call so far, but really, in summary, it's create teams that think for themselves, which reduces the knock on the door, have you got a minute? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that, including the people doing the knocking on the door.
Yeah.
So how do we get that? But also remember, we're in healthcare, we're not in health cell. So the conversation with patients should always be, not just because your regulator says so, but because it comes from here, from within, that it's about putting your patients first. So how do we do that consistently? Mm. How do we do that even when we're under pressure, when interest rates are going up, when we're in a recession, when we're starting out, when there's white space, when there's gaps? So a simple philosophy: engage teams, think for themselves, and we don't need to sell stuff to patients. We have to get better at communicating how we can help people. And if I'm representing the patient in this conversation a second, I would say it's quite simple. The conversation that we're having when we recommend our friends to come and see you, okay, the dentist, it's not about more. It's not about your quantity of dentistry. It's not about how many versions of branded clear aligners you've placed in someone's mouth. It's a human story. Mm-hmm. It's about trust. I choose my dentist because my dentist stands for something, represents something, and is able to communicate that.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue, well, hang on a minute, Kevin, you know, we've got a declining NHS, we've got expanding private market in dentistry. Do you really need to do all that? It's a seller's market, if you like. Well, no, you don't need to. You don't need to. People I work with want to, and that's a difference, I suppose. And that's about values and purpose and why people want to be in dentistry.
Yeah. So if I was to put myself in a position of being a principal dentist owner of a practice, and I was working with Rose & Co., what would be the kind of things that would kind of manifest, if you like? What would I see as a result of the relationship with you in terms of the components, if you like, that you would kind of bring into the practice?
Well, the first thing is you get a perspective that you don't get on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the whole point of having an external person, however mm-hmm. that person is labeled. My style of delivering that is not to tell you what to do, it's to get you thinking differently. Because I encourage that in your teams as well. That's how you get change to last. So practically, what you get are proven, and they are proven, I hope now after 15 years, proven structures in terms of managing and leading and marketing a dental practice,
yeah.
and proven ways of measuring those outcomes, including the financial outcomes. So what you get is a width of perspective and a depth of experience through me and through the other members we have in our coaching group that you don't get on your own. You get fresh perspectives and you get results. But you're getting those results, those financial, all-important ones that we have a vested interest in as business owners,
mm-hmm.
you're getting them because of the way we are managing, leading, communicating, and not at the expense of the people in the practice. And having come from a corporate world where I've seen people destroyed mm-hmm. emotionally, and I was a victim of that myself for a long time, it's not a nice place to work, certainly my experience. Let's get it the right way around. You know, we have too many people disengaged from work, so many people, you know, not enjoying coming to work. We can do better as leaders, and we yeah. owe that to the people. And the next generation, the wave of people coming in, people of my children's generation in their 20s now, they want options. They want that place to work, you know. And I was talking to Practice Plan before we came on the call, flexibility. Well, it's hard to give people working from home options when you're in dentistry, okay? So what else can we give?
Yeah.
How can we do things better? So, yes, we need to achieve more because it pays for the fuel that goes in the tank, that drives the engine, takes us where we're going. I get that. But that should not be at the expense of everybody, everyone, everything else. It should not be at the expense of the people who come to see us, the people we pay to see the people that come to see us, the community or the environment. Focus on those things and the results follow. So that's what you get. That's what you get with me. And we then have established proven ways of measuring those results. So it's not just about financial results, profit, less white space, more occupancy and the rest of it. It's actually balancing that with patient feedback, staff feedback, opinions that matter, that ultimately create the EBITDA that you want to get to eventually presumably do something with your business.
Yeah. I think you've touched upon there kind of my last question, really, because the philosophy that you kind of bring into practices, I, you know, totally buy into all that. And I was going to kind of take my dentist hat off and put my devil's advocate hat on and kind of say, you know, great philosophy. What are those bottom line results? What difference does it make? Yeah. So, you know, typically, you know, from that practice's perspective, what are the benefits that they see kind of driven into the practice?
Well, you are going to have measurable outcomes. Yeah. So, you know, I've been involved now in practices that have gone from a squat to a sale. And the most recent one I can think of was from £0 to £1 million sale in just under 4 years.
Wow.
You know, that's a nice measurable one. Mm. I've been involved in seeing practice owners sell, move on, retire. We've seen new start practices come along. We've seen people take over practices. So don't get me wrong. I'm, you know, my background is in banking and finance. I do appreciate that philosophies don't pay the bills. Right? You've got to have both. But look outside of dentistry. Look where it's gone wrong. It's when there's been that disconnect of values and purpose, if you like, and that creates the wrong behaviors. And I'll give you an example. You know, we think of, let's say, reception. We think of reception and objectives for a good reception team will typically be about call conversion. And I get that. I get that. But what's actually of interest to the patient? Mm-hmm. Possibly how many rings before you answer it. Yeah, okay, I get that. But what I really want to understand as a patient when I pick up the phone is, do you understand me?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with that understanding? Then I meet the dentist. Do you understand me? Did you actually, was it worth me talking to the receptionist to share all of this? Oh, look, it was. Right. Now, how can you help me? I need to understand how you can help me. I don't want to feel pressurized by that. So, and again, all those things you can measure, but it would be like, Les, I don't know, you pick in a restaurant. You go pick a restaurant to go for a meal out one evening. You're not picking that restaurant because of the company's share price.
No.
Right? Or how many covers they've got that evening.
No.
Or even their ability to pair the wine with the food. You're not. You're buying it emotionally. That's what you're buying into. So we mustn't forget we're in healthcare. And if you want to care for people, think what matters to your patients. Yeah. And I've got a very simple way of communicating that is to be kind. It's very easy to say it, okay? But you can't have an SOP on kindness. You can't have an SOP on thinking. However, you can create an environment which you get to lead when you're running a business. You can create an environment where people understand that if it's something you're doing and you have done and you will be doing many, many times, like talking to a patient, picking up the phone, explaining things, whatever, if it feels routine for you, it will feel routine for your patient.
Mm.
Now, you can have identical operating systems on the same pay, the same hourly rate, the same scrubs, and yet one team can deliver kindness and another team doesn't. And not only that, it's been proven in the NHS through two comparable A&E wards, they actually did an experiment where one an A&E ward, they went out of their way to deliver compassionate kindness. Okay. What is it? Is there a manual on it? Of course there's not. This is not McDonald's. Okay. What they did was go, right, if it feels routine for you, it will feel routine for your patient. If it feels unique and special for your patient, they will respond better. And they've proven that. So the efficacy of treatment, the return rate, the healing rate, all the measurables from those two comparable A&E departments pointed towards, you're not doing more. We're not seeing them any faster. We're not sycophantic. We're not, you know, it's not about following a process. It's about kindness, and patients were responding better to it. So it's good for their health.
Yes.
And it feels good to you delivering it. And I can't remember your question now, but I...
Well, you answered it anyway. You answered it. I was talking about the benefits, and I think you covered all of that, Kevin. I mean, it's been fantastic hearing about your approach, which clearly makes a huge difference to the dental practices that you're working with. If someone, as a result of listening to you in this podcast, wants to get in touch, how do they do that?
Go to the website. It's roseand.co. Don't stick a or a UK on the end of it. It won't work. So roseand.co. From there, you can see what we do. You can see examples of how we've done it. You can see who we are. And if you want to, you can click a button. You can pick a time that's in my diary that's convenient for yours, and we can have a conversation. And I don't charge for that because... Why should I? It's a gift to me to be able to speak to other dentists and help them. If that results in something, some business, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I think that's how we need to approach business, not to be attached to an outcome, to be detached from it. That's not just a philosophy. That's what people want.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thanks ever so much, Kevin. It's been great talking to you today. Hopefully we'll get a chance to meet in person in the spring at one of the dental shows, and
all those, Les, and maybe one day we'll recreate that famous and
famous video. Yeah. Until then, Kevin, thanks ever so much, and we'll catch you next time.
Many thanks indeed, too. Thank you, Les.
Cheers.